The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
And without further ado, we have a guest preacher this morning. In fact, we have a guest preacher family this morning. David and Grace Ziegler and Cameron have come to be with us today. As you know, that this is a family of missionaries to Uganda, and they'll be going again in November, and I'd be so surprised if David didn't say something about that. You know how as missionaries are. You know, we're always challenging somebody to do something, even if they didn't want to do it. We're still challenging, aren't we, David? So David's a man of God, and we really appreciate him. We appreciate his heart. As much as we appreciate his words, we appreciate his actions. The things that he and Grace have accomplished over the last couple of years is nothing short of miraculous in our community. Networking, bringing people together, showing God's best in people that wouldn't necessarily be comrades. But he's made them friends. He's made them neighbors. He's made them all together in the kingdom of God. So David, come and preach your heart out, brother. Piccadilly's closed, so you know all we can do is hope and pray. God bless you.
All right. I knew it.
Hallelujah. Long time ago, I'll be brief because this lady has to say some things. Thank you, Brother Bob. Thank you for that wonderful greeting. I've always wanted to be married and have a wife that preached with me. And that started a long time ago. But this is the lady that God has called with me to preach. And that's, hey, sometimes the ladies can outdo the guys when it comes to preaching. I'm not saying that that's going to happen today. But if it happened today, then so be it. But I just would like to say this too. Wow, it is not by even our plans or designs that today be the kind of day that it is. Because God began to speak to me about what to bring with you today, and it is about prayer. And when we got the executive call from the president to pray today, it was so fitting for what I really believe God would have Grace and I to bring today. And so I'm going to take some time to do some more praying. Brother Bob, when you invited everyone up to pray, I thought, wow, I was going to do the same thing. But that section's taken care of already. So I guess I got to preach this part. But let's go ahead and I'll give it to Grace and we'll go from there.
I'm not going to take long. I just have a scripture I want to read, but we're so excited because, as Dave said, he started praying a couple weeks ago about what would the Lord have him to bring. What was God's message today for this time and place and for this congregation? And it was about prayer, and it was about being in the presence of God, and it was about travailing in prayer as the people of God corporately, because we're missing that in our churches nowadays. And we wonder why we don't have power sometime, and this is exactly why, because we're not plugged in, listening and getting that word and soaking in his presence. And so actually, we did not know that the president called a National Day of Prayer until last night. And Dave was in the back showering, and when I heard it, I couldn't wait for him to get out. And I said, guess what? the president called for a National Day of Prayer, just what you said we needed to do, because he had planned to have everyone to come up and spend time in prayer, which he probably still does. And so with that said, I just wanted to, when I asked him about what was his message on prayer, he said that it was on the presence of God. And so many scriptures started coming to mind, all about the presence of God and how we're changed when we're in the presence of God. I know every one of you sitting out here, you can recall times, moments where you hit you were in the presence of God and you walked away changed forever. He did something in you at that moment. And then you may have gone on maybe months, maybe even years, who knows. Then you had another moment where it was that manifest presence of God and you're changed. We're changed when we're in His presence. So just to start, Dave, I want to read from Psalm 16. I'm going to begin in verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. And then I'm going to skip to verse 11. He says, Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to put on the lapel mic here, and we'll go with that one. Praise God. Testing, testing, testing. Here we are. Okay, I come to you today with no Bible and no notes. And it's because the Lord said, get ready and stir my people for some time of prayer today. In addition to what we've done already, I'd like to let you know, Grace and I were visiting a church last week. And in that church, it was a local church here in Slidell, where we felt the Lord would have us go, that they took time to pray in the church. And do you know that as we begin to pray, the Lord began to stir the message for me to bring today, which will be short, but I pray effective because, wow, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, speaking of His authority, there's pleasures forevermore. We as His people are to live in those pleasures because of what He has done for us. And we do live in those pleasures. But it's amazing because as we've been called by our president, but more so by our pastors and our leaders and our fivefold ministry to get out there and do the work of the ministry, as they equipped us to do so, we're to bathe all these things into prayer and intercession. If there's some veterans out here, meaning you've been in the kingdom for a while, you've been born again, you might look back at in the days and realize that God has sometimes taken a decade and done something within that decade. I remember back in the 70s when I got born again as a little guy, how God was doing a certain thing in the 70s. And then in the 80s, it was a very big emphasis on prayer, a tremendous emphasis on prayer. And then in the 90s, a certain theme. And then here in the 2000s, sometimes it's a word emphasis, like God is saying, I want you to study my word, or I want you to pray. And it seems like there are certain themes that take place throughout the decades. And I'm looking at this decade, and I've been saying, God, what is it? What is it that you want us to do as you're born-again believers, not only in the world, but specifically here in America? And I truly believe that it's this thing of intercession. There's a lot of oration that takes place in the church every Sunday. But where are our intercessors? And where is our time to intercede? It seems, when we look back in the New Testament, that some of the greatest things that took place when the body came together was that they were praying and they were interceding. And Peter came in, who they thought was in jail, and were surprised that he had gotten out of jail and arrived as to the place where they were praying. And they were like, they couldn't believe it. Sometimes we say these things. We pray these things and we go, I can't believe it happened. And God says, well, you prayed for this. You were interceding for this. Why shouldn't I move on your behalf? And I believe that that day is here. That this day is here to intercede and to see things happen quickly. Grace and I take time to pray, it seems, every Wednesday. We take time and we do some fasting. And it seems, thank God, that when we pray, the answers come quickly. Why? I don't know, other than there's a God looking out for when we pray and look down and he sees what's going on. Do you have times when you go to God and say, God, hear my prayers? And as she said earlier, it seems sometimes when you're in the presence of God and he's saying, come on, you're getting to that place. You're getting to that faith place in your prayers. Because sometimes, frankly, when we start praying, it's like, oh boy, where do we start? But we just begin to lift our hands and give him a sacrifice of praise. And things begin to start triggering this old brain that need to hear his word. And then we begin to pray his will be done. And as we begin to pray his will, here comes this strength that is not of man. Here comes this strength that comes from within, because the Bible talks about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living. Here comes these living waters, and they just begin to flow because we've made a connection with God. And as a result, he says, okay, you're championing with me. You're in that mode. You're in that prayer time. Now, bang, believe for this. Speak this, declare this, proclaim this. And so we begin to do that. And here comes this excitement that arises. And we're like, I didn't intend to pray that. And God says, that's right. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And with those waters will be some things that cause great change. And so as the change comes, we grasp hold of that promise. We grasp hold of that declaration or that proclamation. And we begin to pray that thing. And then we let it go for a while. And at the end of the week, we begin to start seeing answers to that specific thing take place. Why are these things happening? It seems more quick, it seems, than in the past, because God's really doing some things. He's really culminating some things. Yesterday, while we were sitting in the office, I looked up on the our bookshelf, and I saw this book about Azusa Street. And I saw that book, and I've read that book, and I'm looking at that book, and I'm going, I can't pick that book up off that shelf, because I know if I do, I'm going to be spending my whole day praying and crying, because once you pick that book up and start reading about what took place back in 1905 with the Welsh Revival and then here with Azusa, it was like, what are we doing when we come to our churches? And I'm not picking on this church or any church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. What are we doing when we come on Sunday mornings? Is there a cry in our heart? And believe me, I'm guilty of this. Everything I'm preaching to you today, God zapped me already about it. And I actually get to talk about it. I don't know why. But he wants me to bring this to you today and let you know, as the body of Christ, what happened to those days when we came together and all we did was pray? And if somebody had the privilege like I do today to get up and speak, well, wow, thank God for that. But what was born out of those prayers? What took place? Man, I couldn't wait to go to church back in the 80s. I couldn't wait to get up and go, wow, what's going to happen at that church today? Are we going to be raptured today? Because sometimes I'd feel like we're going to get raptured today. He's going to take us on up into heaven. And it was Sunday. After Sunday, after Sunday, after Sunday, feeling that way. Way down in New Orleans, big city of sin, where sin abounds, all the more does grace. Does anything good come out of New Orleans? Let me tell you, some good things have come out of New Orleans, because I had a pastor down there that didn't play. He said, we're not here to play games, and he said it every Sunday. If you mean business, get down here. We're going to pray. Or we'd meet in the room before the service, and we'd have pre-prayer before the service started. And man, you'd get down there and you'd kneel down, and man, here comes this glory cloud in that room. And we'd begin to pray, and we'd be thinking, well, we got a service to go to at 11 o'clock. And you know what? Sometimes we couldn't get out of those chairs because the glory had fallen in this little prayer room. Man, I long for those days. What happened? What happened? Does that mean that we've taken our lights that should not be under a bushel and somewhat hid those lights? Does it mean that there's been a darkness to come over this nation to such a degree that it's causing us not to want to turn our lights on? Does it mean that all that we do in churches these days, because there's a lot of gadgets, And believe me, I'm not going to bash the church today, because as soon as I start bashing, God's like, you remember who the church is, it's you. You got one finger going there, it's all three pointing back at you. One, well, actually six, look, two guns. And all God's saying is, once you start criticizing the church, you're criticizing yourself. So do something about it, Dave. Spend time with me and I'll tell you something. Take that time to wash yourself, purify yourself, get that mind of Christ that you have, that I've implanted in you, going, and watch what I'll do. Watch how I'll start answering these prayers. And do you know, it changes our lives. These glasses that we put on and that we wear, or we may have contacts. One of my prayers is, God, may I see not what I want to see through these glasses, but what you want to teach me. And may every day and every year and every decade that you do something special, may I see through those eyeglasses. Not my personal eyeglasses, even though those really do help me to read, but what is it that you want me to see through your eyes? Change me so that I won't be the same 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 1 year from now. I want to be different. I want to see it the way you see it. I want to be doing this mission stuff that we do in Uganda in a totally different way. I want to see this on a realm in which it's all about you and really hardly anything to do with us. You know, you get praise sometimes from people. Oh, you go to Uganda, you do this mission. And it's like, yeah, but please remember, it's all about Him. He just uses us because we're available. If God, if you're doing a work of the Lord and you get recognized for it, what do we have to do? We got to turn that praise back to Him. Right. Yes, we can say thank you. That's the thing to do, because you want to recognize people as they recognize you. But wow, when we're able to say, guess what? I'm glad you're acknowledging what I'm doing. But you know what God's doing? Let me tell you what God's doing. Let me tell you how we prayed and this happened. Let me tell you how we reached out to this person and laid hands on him and saw him come to Christ. Or we laid hands on him and saw them be healed. Or this person told us a story about somebody and how they got healed. It's an incredible journey. But it begins with our time with Him, doesn't it? And I'm not saying anything new to the choir today, believe me. I'm not saying anything new. All I'm doing is to say, let's stir up that faith that He's placed within us. Let's stir up those gifts that He's placed within us and realize that these glasses that we see through, and if you don't have glasses, well, He'll give you some glasses sooner or later. It'll be His glasses that you can look through and say, Father, I've been seeing things through my eyes, but I want to see things through your eyes. And part two, here it comes. Preaching His gospel. Where have we forgotten and stepped out of doing that? Sometimes we get so busy with the work of the ministry, a lost soul comes in front of us and God says, what are you doing? They're standing right there in front of you. Go for it. Go for it. They need me. They need me. Remember, don't get so busy with the work that you miss out on these ones right here that are in front of us. Opportunity everywhere. Opportunity everywhere. And the gospel that we preach, I'm just here to remind you today, is a powerful gospel. Can I remind you again today that Paul said that I preach Christ and I preach Him crucified? That means all the blood and all the gore that the world don't like to hear, that we got to still say it, because we were wretches and sinful, hurting, no good in anybody's eyes except Him. And He was our only hope, and He is our only hope. He's the only one that looks down at a murderer and a sinner and says, I've got hope for that person. All they have to do is accept this forgiveness that I've given. He's the greatest one to put us in a place of understanding, hey, wait, I was put on this earth not to kill people. I was placed on this earth to first love God and find out what this whole thing's about and identify with God and surrender and be broken once again in order that I might do what? Get born again. How many of you have a testimony of how you got born again? We're getting ready to go on this Uganda trip. I know I wasn't going to say much about it, but we were getting ready to go on this Uganda trip, and we asked all the members to write down their experiences to how they got born again, what their life was like before, actually how they got born again, and how has their life been since. And to be able to put all that down in 2 minutes, and to be able to give report and be bang, 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 while we're in the field, while we're doing medical work, what have you, so that we'll be ready to minister to people as we're medically touching them. We're having prayer at certain times throughout the day. We're doing these things in order just to prep ourselves. Over there, it's amazing. We come back and we're like, wow, these people are starving for the gospel. Over here, we're like, wow, we think we got it all. And again, this is no put down for anybody, but we just have to grasp a hold of this thing through prayer and intercession. Sometimes we wake up. Sometimes we are like, I'm so confused. And God's like, come to my feet. Kneel at my feet. I'll take you out of that confusion. I'll put your mind in the right place. Just come and bow before my feet. Or crawl up into my lap. Oh, I love when I get to crawl up into his lap. You know why? Because when I get to crawl up into his lap, nothing on this earth matters during that time. My mind is not even here. My spirit is with him. And when that happens, it happens somewhat rarely, but I want it to happen more. When that happens, what I mean, nothing matters on earth. That could mean a fire could be catching on a house across the street, and it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter because God was saying, don't worry about that fire. You're here, and you're in my presence, and I've got some things to tell you, and I've got some things to express to you. So my question to you today is your heart hungry? Mine wasn't last week. I had to get in the mode to get hungry. I had to get in the mode to get thirsty. We were singing about it earlier. And there's nothing wrong with that. Except get hungry. Get thirsty. In doing so, he's always there. He's always there to provide and to say, come on, let's go, saints. Let's go, team. I'm here to encourage you. He's the greatest. Jesus Christ is the greatest cheerleader for us. He is the most amazing. He sits at the right hand of God in heaven. And sometimes he stands up. He stood up for Stephen. And since that time, I wonder who else he stood up for. When he looked down and he saw someone dedicating their life totally to his cause. Martyrs, as well as ones that were just doing what he said to simply do, and that is obey. How many of you understand that feeling that you get when you obey him? There's no greater source of satisfaction that touches your heart than when you're obeying him. There's such a deep sense of fulfillment when we obey his word. So I'm here to say today, wow. Intercession. Get ready, folks. We're hearing about it as you read the articles, charisma and these things. It's what's being said this whole year. Not only that, it's being preached by Holy Spirit-filled churches in this nation. They're saying, intercede. Pastors are saying, intercede. When intercession is what he says to do, then preaching can't do what intercession can do. We sometimes think that this preaching stuff, and believe me, I am honored to be here and to do this, but sometimes I just got to put tape over my mouth and say, I can't say any good thing. I just got to intercede with my Father
crawl up into his lap if I get to do it, and say, Father, what is it? What is it that you want me to do, and how should I pray for this thing? Because it goes so much further when we intercede with God. Don't we know that it goes so much further? A prayer of intercession with God sometimes can put out that house fire that you see across the street when you're in God's presence. You might not have to even get out and throw a bucket of water on that fire. You'll do better just sitting there and interceding and hearing what God has to say about that thing going on across the street. Whatever the need is, whatever the need. I heard the other day, actually, that they were getting so many items brought into the Houston area that they began to say, please, don't send the stuff anymore. Please just send money, because money will take care of helping the people. And I'm glad that we were able to take up an offering today. And I know many people have done well with bringing in supplies. They said a lot of the supplies, such as clothes and so forth, end up in the city landfills because they're not able to even get it sometimes to the people. And I think, wow, you'd think that certain things would be really helpful for people at certain times. Well, just like when we pray, we think we ought to be doing all these things, and God says simply, intercede, and I'll work on your behalf. I'll get what those people need. I'll make sure you do your part. I'll convict you to put some money here and send some money and do these things, which is a good thing. But be open. Be open. Be open to intercession. Be open to spending that time with the Lord. It's changed my life, and it's continually changing my life. I'm seeing some amazing things happen. I'm excited. How many of you have been with walking with the Lord for a long time? Let me raise that hand of yours. Isn't it amazing how he'll take something that's so simple that you learned 20, 30 years ago, and he revives it and he wakes it up, and you're sitting here going, wow, wow. I remember my first love. I remember coming to Christ. I remember my born-again experience. I remember the Holy Spirit infilling. I remember being water baptized. I remember learning about communion. I remember the sacraments that were taught to me. It was exciting when I first learned about why we do what we do. Now here we are, years later. And it's like, wow. I've been hanging around here for a while, but then here comes a new person. God, thank you for that new experience that they have as being born again. And we can look back at those days and thank God for those days, but then may those days push us forward to continue on in the basics that we know. You know, that's what keeps us going. It's the basics that keep us going. It's not these new developments that take place. It's prayer. It's intercession. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's doing this thing called water baptism. It's having communion. It's these things that keep us going here in this thing we call the church, that God placed down here on the earth to represent himself through the sacrifice of his son. Many people are discouraged these days about the church. Many are. But guess what? It's what he put on the earth for us to be a part of, to represent him, and to do it with a smile and not with a groan. And sometimes I groan about the church, and God says, yeah, you're groaning because you're not praying. You're groaning and you're complaining because you're not praying. So start praying and take on the attitude that you're supposed to have, Dave. That is one of love, one of peace, one of joy. Amen. Are you encouraged today? Amen. Are you encouraged that we're in a body of believers, but yet there's still so much more to do? Are you convicted every once in a while? We should be. Things shouldn't always be happy-go-lucky when we step into the church. Sometimes we get, just like a little baby, a little four-year-old. You tell that baby, come on, it's time to do this. I don't want to do it. Grace knows what I'm talking about. We see little kids like this, and they're struggling because their will says, I don't want to do it. and you have to sit as the authority and go, well, we'll just wait till you get over your temper tantrum. You can kick, you can scream, you can fall out on the ground, put your legs up in the air and do all those things. And God is patient with us. I'm not saying any of us are like that. But God is patient with us, isn't He? He is so, so patient. Thus, I'm excited about doing what I'm supposed to do. And what I'm supposed to do is to pray, get His Word, get my marching orders, get in my place, and get out and do what He says to do. And then here comes what? That fulfillment. Amen? Are you excited today?
Amen.
Can you stand with me? Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's hard to stand. Sometimes it's hard to kneel. Sometimes I got to put my knees to the ground at home. Because you know what? Sometimes we can do things a little bit easier at home than in the church. Because we're so used to dressing up and looking nice and having to do all these things. Sometimes at home we can simply get on our knees. If we can still do that. Some of us it's kind of hard to do that. But we have to position ourselves where we know we can block everything out. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and we're going to do that right now. Picture yourself in your most comfortable place at home, where you know that you've had time with God, where you know you've had relationship and intercession with Him. And I just want you to close yourself away just for the next few minutes as this music is playing. And I'm going to say and I'm going to pray some things. And I'm going to believe that what God set me up in this place to do today is going to be accomplished. And that is, dear Father, as we come before You today, may that peace that passes all understanding that guards our heart comfort our minds now in Christ Jesus. Father, we lift up our hands. If you will, lift your hands up to the Lord. We're going to sing a song of praise to You. We're going to lift up a song of praise that simply says, in Your presence there's fullness of joy. At Your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what glorious divine. I am His and He is mine. In Your presence there's fullness of joy. Let's sing it. In His presence there's fullness of joy. At Your right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh, what happiness divine. I am His and He is mine. In Your presence there's fullness of joy.
Thank You, Lord.
And Lord, we ask, Lord, that Your presence be with us daily as we find that place where we bow our knee. And when we close ourselves away, dear God, may we sense and feel, dear God, what You're saying to us, because we want to take that time as a sacrifice of praise to You, dear God. We pray, dear God, that people here in this building, as well as those on live stream, dear God, that even today, that dear God, that You would touch them in their hearts and in our minds, dear God. Father, You have spoken and You have said that it is a season of intercession. I pray, Lord God, that we would find our place of intercession. And as we do, dear God, that You would begin to speak clearly, because our hearts are broken and they're bent towards You. And as a result, dear God, You will not turn away a broken and contrite heart that we sometimes get as we intercede. In order, dear God, that we hear Your words and move on into that area You've called us to. Lord, I pray that the giftings and the callings, we'd realize them. We'd see ourselves even doing these giftings and calling. Lord, some of us are veterans. We've been around a while, but yet, dear God, there's so much work still to do. And we say, not with an anxious spirit, but with a spirit of just acceptance, God, show me my place. Put me in my place. Show me, dear God, how I should pray and where I should go. And we know that, dear God, that You are faithful to do these things. And dear Father, some of us are called to stay, some of us are called to give, some of us are called to go. And we pray, dear God, even as this hurricane has come, some of us are called to stay and pray, some of us are called to give, some of us are called to go and help out those folks, dear God. And we pray that, Father, in this method, may your gospel, dear God, be preached to people in this hurting area of Texas. Dear God, may there be, because of unity being displayed by your body, story after story after story of salvation that has come to many. We pray for a born-again experience to take place, dear God, in the lives and in the hearts of many, dear God, that didn't know their way but now do, because somebody came from somewhere and touched their heart through an act of giving and an act of kindness. And we believe for this today. We join, dear God, with not only many churches in this nation, but many churches around the world, Lord, your body, that are praying for Texas and, dear God, for this nation. Lord, we lift up our nation. We pray, dear God, from the top all the way down, dear Father, your blessing and your peace, Lord, once again, in order that we as free people in this nation get about the Father's business. We've been given a mandate to do so. And we pray, dear God, that as we go through intercession, through prayer, through hearing your voice, that we give this word of hope that's within our hearts, this gospel, this hope, dear God, that you've placed within our heart, dear God, that we were once sinners, we were once wicked, we were once wretched, but when we realized that you, dear Jesus, and the Spirit of God came after us, that we bent our knee and we said yes to you. And you, it seems that you closed us in a certain box, that we could only realize that we were hurt and that we were broken and we needed a Savior. And dear God, we pray that today, that anyone listening here, dear God, that does not know you, that their knee would be broken, that their will would be surrendered today, and that, dear Father, your heart, they would see it for what it really is, and that, dear God, that they would bend their knee. And I say in Jesus' name, bend your knee today. Acknowledge him as Christ. Acknowledge him as Lord. Acknowledge him as your Savior, because he is. He is the one that knows you better than you even know yourself. He's there to take you into his arms. But there has to be a willingness of surrender in order for this to take place. He has forgiven you. He knows your heart. He knows your pain, but he has forgiven you. Accept his forgiveness today. Accept that blood that was poured out on that cross for your salvation today. And receive from him today. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. You brought us a good word this morning. David titled his message, In His Presence. I would maybe also subtitle that, It's Your Next Step. Where do we go from here? David told you. Go to your closet and ask the Lord, what's next for you? Where does he want you to reach out? What does he want you to do? David told you. What's next? Heavenly Father, thank you for your ministry to us today. Lord, we pray that our ministry to you and praise and worship was acceptable to you. We thank you for Dave and Grace and Cameron coming to minister to us today. Pray that you bless their family and bless their ministry. And Father, for all those who call this church home, Lord, we pray that you encourage and bless them, that as they take the next step, Lord, you may open their hearts and minds to know what's next for them. We love you, we bless you, we praise you. We ask you to be with Pastor Morris and Pat as they do family. Be with all of those others who are traveling and not with us today. Lord, bring them back safely, we pray. And again, our hearts are with the folks in Texas, the first responders and victims as well. Bless it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you again very soon.
God bless. Thanks, Ro, Becky.
Thank you.